Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Beth, who is here to speak with us about the recording and listening training. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, Jen. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So recording and listening training is a program that we're hearing more and more about. And I know that you've had the great good fortune to be both participating as a participant as well as getting to train in it. So we thought you'd be a great candidate to talk a little bit about the program and what's entailed.
Yes, yes. And boy, did you say it with that idea of the great good fortune of doing both, because where I thought I might start with is the training itself. To be a trainer is that you get to actually go through the curriculum with the monastery and be facilitated through it.
So perfect. It's so practice. Because, of course, how else are you going to learn to have your own experience of it, right?
Exactly so. It's just that perfect place of the practice is the process is the outcome sort of idea. I get to do it, to be part of the training, and then to be a trainer doing the practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, I just as you say that, I think of what we often talk about, that no matter what role we're playing in practice, it's always about our own practice. You know, so it's always, so if I'm facilitating a workshop, a retreat, or whatever it is, it's always first and foremost my own awareness practice, and not in sort of that small, it's about me, it's mine way, but just that understanding that I think you're pointing at, that it's all for me. It's all for my own waking up.
Yes, exactly. And what I saw when you were saying that is that place where each time that I get that great good fortune to facilitate someone through the RL training program is that I do it myself again. You know, I'm doing it with them. I'm doing the exercises, the homework, you know, everything, because each time I do it, there's something new to see.
Yes. Yeah. That's such an important point, isn't it? Yes. And so one of the things I think has been really powerful for folks that I've been hearing around the recording and listening training is that people who have been recording and listening for years realize that doing the training has a really significant impact on their practice, on their recording and listening practice in particular.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I, you know, I experience that myself each time I go through it. And it's just like going to retreats at the monastery. You know, I might have been at TINW once before, but going through it again, there's different content, there's different awarenesses. I'm at a different place in my practice. And, you know, it's just the insights come from a deeper place and seeing more, and it just becomes very exciting to go through it again because it feels like it's the first time again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm having that experience with, I'm reading the revised version of the Fear Book, and I mean, I'm having one of those experiences that people talk about of, are you sure that it said this in the book before? Because this is like a different book. But I know it's because, you know, the more we practice with something, a content, a process, as you say, the deeper we go with it. And I think that's really, really one of the reasons that recording and listening is so compatible with practice, because in itself, the tool of recording and listening has such an impact on deepening practice.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so a couple of things came up for me I saw with that when I was thinking about being on this call is that you get to practice something that I think practice points to all the time, which is adequacy. There's this place of learning the tools of recording and listening where you're given, and this word has been used before, a handle, where you're given different tools to use during the course of the 6 weeks. And so you learn different ways to use recording and listening in different situations. And as you do that, you, one, start to recognize, oh, you know, this would be a good time to do this tool with recording and listening. And another time, it might be a different tool. And what you get to practice is that there's this building of a sense of adequacy, because you're able to address some things that before conditioning might have bamboozled anyone into believing that they're lost, they don't understand, you know, they don't know, they're they have to be succumbing to conditioning. I don't know how to say it, but if that makes sense.
Absolutely. That's really interesting. So over the course of the six-week training, and over the course of the 6 weeks, there are these various different ways. You use the word handles, different ways that we learn to use the recording and listening techniques. And then I love the way you lay that out, that what we do is we ground in those techniques, and then we're out in our daily life and we're practicing with everything that comes up. And then it occurs to us, this would be a great place for this particular tool or that particular tool. And then in having that experience, I think that was even talked about, was it this morning, the Project Joy radio show, that place of it occurred to me and I did it, right? That's such a powerful 1-2 combination in practice where, so there I'm going along in my life and it occurs to me to use one of those recording and listening tools that I learned in the training, and then I actually do it. And I get to experience that adequacy that you're pointing at.
Yes, exactly. And what just dropped in with that was the idea that the minute you pick up the recorder, you're practicing.
Mm-hmm. The minute you pick up the recorder, you're... Say that again?
Well, in that movement to pick up the recorder, you're practicing. Yeah. Because it's the start of the movement towards disidentification and towards... Yeah. Responding to the human in the situation where, gosh, you know, let me try that, and already you're practicing being there, being here, being present.
Being present. Oh, that's so good. That is so good. You know, so what the phrase that just dropped in for me when you were saying that was the insight needs experience that we sometimes talk about. And so what I just saw was, when I'm taking something like a recording and listening training, I'm inputting all of this amazing material into my practice, if you will. And so then as I go along, that's available to me. Those things begin to drop in for me and to unfold. And instead of getting bamboozled for long periods of time, conditioning does what it does, but then those are triggers to, wait, I remember. There was something about that. I could use this tool.
Yes. And then from there, what is really, for me, very magical about the recording and listening practice is that the more I do it and the more I talk, record, and then the more I listen, the more I really get to discern between when conditioning is talking and when authenticity is present. And it really takes that commitment to do the practice of recording and listening. But the benefits are so huge because I get to learn and discern which is which.
Yes.
And that just makes it a full circle thing back to what you're pointing at, which is insight needs experience.
Right. And then as you say that, it takes all the pressure or standards or any idea that I'm getting somewhere out of it. Because what I realize is, it's all useful, right? Because as I'm recording, as I'm listening, as I'm going, as I'm practicing, I'm just building up that ability to discern the difference between when I'm being bamboozled by a conditioned conversation and when there's authenticity here. And so if we can just relax into that process, gosh, it just becomes, the whole thing becomes joyful.
Right. And then what also builds with that is you know, I think for me, my tendency in the beginning of my recording and listening practice was to turn to it in those times of, you know, feeling really bamboozled and really stuck. But what I've found lately is the joy of picking up the recorder and making recordings that are so exuberant and so full of life and so much about just how much I'm loving experiencing what's going on. And it doesn't necessarily change anything, but it just really grounds me in a sense that I'm not alone because I get to share it.
Yes. And you get to share it with something, someone, however we say that, who is going to be right there sharing it with you versus who knows what else is going to happen.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And to that point, in a sense of when I do pick it up, when I really am struggling, I know that I'm not alone, and I know that I can start to trust myself and trust the process because it's not going to change the content of what's going on, but it changes how I am with it.
Exactly. Yes. So there, that goes to the other Project Joy quote, right? The one about the world doesn't change, but we change, or something like that. So it's the place of, you know, everything's exactly the same, but because my relationship with it is different, it feels completely different. And so because egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate's big thing is to get us in isolation and separate and alone, and recording and listening is a conversation, if you will, that we can be in with life, a conversation of love, of joy, of compassion, of oneness.
Yeah. Yes, exactly so. And I just know that from my own experience of doing recording and listening and in the beginning, you know, feeling like, oh, I'm really kind of struggling with doing this on a daily basis or at least a consistent basis, if not daily, but a consistent basis, that going through the recording and listening training to become a trainer set me up, gosh, maybe those aren't the right words, but supported me in a way of really being able to keep that commitment after the recording and listening training was over, because it became something that just was part of my daily routine.
It reminds me of the, you know, if you truly want to learn something, teach it. But that really ups our commitment.
Very much so.
Well, Beth, I'm having a really nice time here and realizing that we're a couple of minutes past the hour. Wow. That happened fast.
I didn't realize that either.
Anything else you'd like to add in before we end?
You know, if anybody has any questions, please write in. You know, just write in. Just participate even that way and ask questions about the recording and listening training program, because it's just, it's so many people may stop themselves and there's no need to.
There's no need to. Amen. RLtrainers at livingcompassion.org. Is that the, do you know?
You know, I'm so sorry to say, I don't have it off the tip of my tongue, but I'm sure that the recording and listening website, would that have it?
Yeah.
Or maybe
yeah.
we can yeah. get and, that information.
Yep. And one of us will supply it to Michael during the show so he can he can get it into the
Thank you.
Do the confirmation. Yep. Thank you so much, Beth, for being with us this
Thank
afternoon.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks,
okay.
everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yep.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Beth. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How's by
How you?
Doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Having a lovely time. We're getting ready to start a retreat at the monastery, you know.
Wonderful. Yes.
Yep.
Yes, I heard
yep.
that.
This is our summer retreat. Very excited about it. Lots of fun things that we're going to be doing over the next few days. So it's always a, you know, it's an exciting time when a that yes. that day that the retreat is starting. You know, everybody's driving in, and we've been getting everything all ready and planning everything for them, and it's very thrilling. And then right. to you know, be here and hear that conversation, that was an exciting conversation. So
yes,
practice is lovely. How can a person not just be in one place, right? So immersed in practice.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's a real blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I enjoyed the conversation also, and especially the part about people who've been recording and listening for years and may not have done that training yet. A great opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, it's like being taught to meditate. We can always pick up a tip. You know, there's somebody's always going to say something that we haven't heard before, or, yeah, we haven't heard before. They may have said it before, but I didn't hear it before. And so now I do. And that point of no matter where we've been or what we've done, I'm different now. Everything is different right now. And so it's going to be a brand new experience regardless.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
I have some announcements here.
All right. Don't announce this retreat, Michael. It's already full. All right. Just let you know, if that's on the list, you can skip right over it.
There is nothing wrong with you retreat. Offer an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate, and to discover how to let that go. This work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Yep. Two retreats are coming up, June 10th through the 17th, and June 30th through July 7th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California.
Boy, that first one is coming right up.
Yes, it is. Right around the corner.
I'm surprised there's availability in that. That's amazing. Somebody must have canceled. All right.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Mornings with the Mentor is a group coaching program in which participants will create recordings with the mentor to support intentions for the day and for life. Don't miss the opportunity to spend time each morning with someone who loves you unconditionally. The four-week coaching program starts June 28th.
All right. Isn't that a statement? To start your day with someone who loves you unconditionally. Now, a lot of people actually might have somebody in their life who loves them unconditionally. But are they going to be there in that unconditionally loving space every morning? Maybe not.
Right.
So this way, we have that regardless of what's going on with anybody else, and it positions us to be that for everyone else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, a real blessing for the world. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we're ready here, Sherry.
All right, ready, set, go. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Sandra.
Whoa. That's not working. That sounded very enthusiastic, and then boom, right into the void of technology.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that was interesting.
Much better. Yeah. Who's this?
This is Sari from Seattle, Washington.
How are you doing?
All right. Good, good. What's going on?
Well, I just had a – currently I am in a place in my career where I've kind of hit a brick wall, and I am attempting to brainstorm ideas on which direction I can go. I'm an artist, and so there's many avenues I can take this. And I find that what I do to myself is I will give myself lists and lists and lists and lists and lists of things that I can do, but I will never actually go for any of them. Or if I do go for one, I'll do like a half start and then I'll falter and then I'll fade away and then I'll get down on myself. And so I'm just kind of wondering like how the practice would be able to support me.
Well, the first thing, the first thing to do, you know, that opening in the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat that we were just talking about, you might avail yourself of that, okay? Because that's the thing that is actually going to speak to what's going on with you. But in the interim, since we're here together, so there are all of these things that you could do. And one of them appeals to you, one rises to the top, and you start down that road, and what stops you?
I just sit there and feel defeated when I get like a creative block or when my skill level isn't up to my standards because I haven't been practicing with it. And it's one of those things where self-hate just comes in and is like, you're not good enough, you can't do this.
Okay, you know, there we go. Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So none of that is an issue. What's really going on is the voices, the hateful voices in your head are thwarting your effort, undermining
yeah.
you, criticizing you, judging you, telling you you can't do it. And then finally you give up, which... who wouldn't under those
right.
circumstances? And then those very same voices beat you up for quitting.
Exactly, yeah. And oftentimes they stop me before it even starts. And I
yep.
just get these feelings of complete overwhelm. And like then I'll try and do something to where I map it out, map out a plan. And then the plan itself overwhelms me.
Well,
so
again, it's really important to get clear that nothing overwhelms you, nothing stops you, nothing defeats you, nothing anything except the voices in your head. So
yeah.
that plan could be a perfectly fine plan, but by the time the voices get finished with you, then you're overwhelmed.
Yes.
Right? So it yeah. always comes down to the same process. Egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, is there to ruin your life. And so this is one of those where if we were in a room together, you know, we're in a retreat, maybe there's 60 people in the room, and you would tell that story, and I would say, wait, stop right here. Does anybody know what she's talking about? And every hand would go up.
Yeah.
Okay. So we think it has something to do with us, but it doesn't. It has to do
well,
with that system. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and of course, that's the whole thing of practice, right? So what the Buddha taught is that we suffer. There's a reason we suffer. There's a way to end suffering, and there's a process for doing that. It's possible to end suffering, and there's a process for doing that. And that's what awareness practice is. And you have clearly identified we suffer, and you have
yeah.
actually identified the cause of suffering. Right?
Yeah.
That voice of ego that wants to be separate from life and wants to suck all the life out of life. And now you're on the path of there's a way to end suffering, right? Which is where you are now, looking at, okay, I get it, I see it, uh-huh, all right, good. Now, how do I stop it?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So suggestion one is get to a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. It will, I can promise you, change your life. So again, if we were at that retreat and I said, who has been to a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat? And a bunch of hands would go up and I would say, so should she go to that retreat? Would it be worth the time and money and that? And, you know, people would start putting both hands up. Yes, 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 go to it. Go do that.
Yeah.
Okay. In the interim, until you get there, here's a little something that you can play with. Okay. Don't do this instead of going to the retreat because it's not a substitute. Okay. It's just something to play with in the interim. And that is that you. So are you at that place right now where you're ready to? You're looking. You got your list going. You're looking for the next thing that you want to do. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. I'm at the point of like, okay, this is clearly an issue. I want to move forward and it's consistently stopping me. And I just want that pivot point where I can move forward and have a, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We all do now. Once again, you're in the right place. We all know exactly what you're talking about. So, so here's my best encouragement. Do you have a recording and listening practice?
I had one that assisted me for a while, and then it kind of just tapered off. So I'm aware
right.
of some things,
yeah.
but
so the
didn't
same
stick with
the same system stopped you from doing that, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it does. You know, it isolates us from everything that can help us, because then you're all alone with only it, and it's happy then. You're miserable, and it's happy. So you want to get that recorder out. If you use your smartphone, then that's great, but you want to be able to record. So here's how we go about doing this. So you decide that you're going to, whatever it is that you're going to do, you know, you're going to explore an option or you're going to, whatever you want to move forward with, okay? And you're going to approach this not to move forward, but to see exactly how that system stops you. Okay?
Right.
So I don't know what kind of art you do, so I'm just going to make this up, okay? So you're a painter, and you have this painting that you know you want to do, and the voices just won't allow you. You know, no, you can't do it. It's not going to work. It's never going to be the way you want. You've never done anything yet, okay? And you're going to be taking that down. So what the voices are saying now is that it's never going to work. It's never going to be the way I want it to be. There's no sense in even starting. Okay. And then you get out your little paints and you go up to the canvas and you start in. Not because you're going to paint anything, but because you want to hear the next thing that they say to stop you. Okay.
Yeah.
You've always been a failure. You're not as good as other people. Remember, in art school, you were always the one who, what the voices are saying now is, and you just record that until you have a really clear picture of what they're doing to stop you. Now, you can take that and you can turn that into a process map. So I'm feeling this way. The voices say that. And then I feel this, and then I try to do that, and then the voices say that, and I feel that, and then and so pretty soon you can chart this whole thing that they do to you.
Yeah.
And as you're doing that, you're getting more and more distance from it. You realize that it's just a program that you're getting sucked into that's determining your behavior, and that when you're watching it and not believing it, you are freed up from being engaged with it.
Right.
You
with
me?
Yeah, just disassociating from it by watching it and mapping it out, and then it allows you to remove that emotion, and you're like, oh, that's just you again.
That's right. And so now you're gonna do the whatever it is that you're gonna do, and here come the voices, and they're gonna say the same kind of thing. And you go, oh, voices. Okay, I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to believe you. Now you get into the the recordings that you listen to move forward with that. Okay, the recordings that are what's really true. Okay, that I love art. I love doing art. I love devoting my life to it. It lights me up. I find it exciting. And whatever it is true for you. And that's what you listen to as you are moving forward with whatever it is you're moving forward with.
Yeah, that would be extremely helpful because honestly, like pretty much everything that you said about, I am a painter. I'm also a photographer and a graphic artist. And I was painting this weekend and I got stuck on this canvas and it was just exactly what you were saying where it's like, you know, and I looked at it the next day and I'm like, oh, I actually really like what I did so far. It's just, it stopped me from making progress. Yeah.
That's right. And that's the point of awareness practice, right? You're seeing it. You don't have to have this resolved tomorrow. You're seeing it. Oh, well, son of a gun, they were lying. I actually like that. Right?
Yeah.
Now, here you go again, right? Now you go into it, you watch what they do, and pretty soon, truly, it's like, you know, having a relative or a neighbor who's just so negative all the time, and after a while, you just start laughing at it. You know, right, this is the point where you say, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. Oh, gosh, I used to be troubled by that. Whoop. Thank goodness those days are over.
Yeah, that sounds really nice, actually. It's okay.
Good.
Like that.
All right, you'll let me know, right?
All right, I will. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Sorry. Sherry, I think we can take that all to heart, that message from that conversation, to drop all of us.
All of us, whatever we're doing, huh?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's it, isn't it? It's all the same. It just takes whatever we care about and
right.
and just uses that language, right? But it's all the same, the exact same message.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So I'm not painting, but whatever I'm doing, it's got the same opinion of how I spend my time. Yes.
That's right. You can't do it. You're no good at that. It's not going to work. It never has. It never will. Why don't you just quit?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and to for you to talk about it in such a disidentified way as it's just the system, it's just that's all it does is say that, and there's nothing to it. It's just it's so helpful to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more we do that, right? The more we step back from it in that way and talk about it in that way. The clearer it gets, and that is the wonderful part about being on retreat, because we get to see it. We hear other people say what goes on in our head, and it's like, oh wow, this is it's not unique, is it? And it's not personal. Very helpful. Sangha is helpful.
Yes, yes. And speaking of Sangha, we have another caller right here.
Oh, nice segue, sir. Very nice, very nice.
Thank you. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey
there.
What
are you up to?
Hey, this is surviving.
Oh, you're surviving? Very, very good. We'd hate to have a different message from you.
Right. And this is a question about, or need encouragement about, I guess it's the quote, the teaching that says, it's not what the other person does to you, it's what conditioning, it's what self-hate does with what the other person
uh-huh.
does to you.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so I just need encouragement. My husband and I have had a very difficult 3 days regarding a neighbor friend who has a kind of hostile dumping pattern and acts impulsively and ended up with animals getting needlessly hurt and then by her when they took little kittens, nursing kittens away from their mother and then said she didn't want to do it anymore and dumped them on us and, you know, staying up nights trying to nurse baby kittens, but we eventually took them to, found them foster care, and for people who are trained to do it, but, and this, meanwhile, the neighbor friend is, like, angry and dumping and now blaming us for, you know, it's just kind of like mental illness, whatever, there's nothing you can do. And I've been doing a big process map on why do I get so upset by her, you know, angry, hostile dumping. And I have had a lot of, I had some good awarenesses come in that I made recordings about that the stuff I needed to see. But it's also just been really, really hard.
Yes, yes, right. So all of that can be true at the same time, huh? You, even if you're, so the last conversation we had, even though we're disidentified to some degree, it can still be emotionally very, very difficult, right? Even to the point of realizing this neighbor is not completely well, right? Has some real problems, and we can be sympathetic, and it's still difficult, still painful.
Yeah, and the reason I wanted to call in, so I have a lot of stuff to look on my, you know, that's come up that I, like, keep putting, making more pages on my process map, and there are more processes involved with this whole process. However, I guess I'm just kind of scared that I'm going to wake up tomorrow with that, like, awful emotional hangover feeling after you go through a really kind of a nightmare that it doesn't dissipate right away.
Yeah, yeah. And so what does it feel like you could do to take care of yourself under those circumstances? Because you're suspecting that it's going to happen, right? You're going to wake up and there's the residue of all of that emotional stuff. And if you're not careful, it's going to drag you down. Right, and so, what occurs to you that you could do to take care of yourself?
I recall you once told me, like, to really spend time acknowledging that, hey, I got through something very difficult, and don't let conditioning take it away, and say, okay, well, now we're catch up on everything we got behind on. But I don't know. That just, I remember you told that to me once.
That what, Elizabeth?
I remember you told that to me once, like after we survive a crisis, that we it's important to take time and something.
Yes. And to focus on, first of all, I want you to know you're in really good company, okay? Because Zen monasteries throughout time, and of course, other monasteries, Catholic monasteries and that sort of thing too, but I know about Zen monasteries, are the recipients of every kind of animal and children, right? So people who can't, won't, choose not to take care of something, they know that these people are people who will take care of whatever this is, and so they just sneak in the middle of the night and dump them on the doorstep, right? So the monks in the other religion, the nuns, wake up in the morning, and there we have it, right? And so just to know that there is a price to be paid for having a reputation for being compassionate, right? And you know, conditioning would want to say, well, that's crummy. But for the heart, that's a price that we're willing to pay, right? Because you don't want to be somebody who doesn't care, right? I mean, you wish other people would care, and you wish other people wouldn't take advantage of the fact that you care, but you really don't want to be somebody who doesn't care. And so to just acknowledge that this is a choice. I wish that all of these other components didn't come with that choice, and it is a choice that I make. I want to care, and to focus on that, and then to carry that into all of the things that you care about. You know, it could be a wonderful time for the I Love You recordings, you know, to just walk around and appreciate and acknowledge all of the things that you care about, and how those fulfill you. And keep your attention focused on that until that residue of negativity, that emotional hangover, has been dissipated. I don't know whether we would say it's dissipated or it's transformed. There's another word for that. Sublimated? Not sure. But anyway, where that energy becomes an energy of kindness and compassion rather than an energy of that conditioning can use to take you back into that difficult place and get you to watch it run through all of the negativity one more time.
Yeah. Okay, so your encouragement is to, when I wake up tomorrow, focus on the I love you recordings.
Yep. And the gratitude that you feel that you have a compassionate heart. Because, you know, it's not a choice that we make. I mean, people who don't feel, who aren't empathetic, who don't feel compassion for other creatures or trees or, you know, whatever, in nature, other people who don't feel that empathy and compassion, they didn't choose that. And we didn't choose to be people who do. So we can be, and I think it's important to acknowledge that we can be very grateful to be in the camp that cares. It's painful. Sometimes I wonder, is it easier if you don't care about anything? I don't know. It's painful to have a heart that's really open. But I wouldn't want the alternative.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That might be a little over my head right now, but that's okay. I can do your focus on the I love you recordings.
Yeah. And I bet the other won't be over your head, but you might need to listen to the conversation again, but you'll realize you're right there. You're right there with it. Because the next critter that comes along, you're going to be right in the same place because you care. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still going to be more backlash coming from this kind of hostile person because that's who they are.
Yep.
They're going to be who they are. And
exactly.
I'm just going to keep watching how
exactly.
self-hate, you know, does
yes.
something with it.
Yes, that's all we can do. That's all we can do. We're not going to stop caring. We can't control how people are. Our job is to keep choosing compassion no matter what, to the best of our ability, you know, as best we can in any circumstances at any time. That's what we can do. And
okay.
as we keep making that choice, our ability to choose loving kindness and compassion grows.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you a lot for talking to me. Yeah, even my husband has been really upset, and he's a normal person.
Even somebody as normal as your husband is finding this upsetting. So where does that leave crazy people like us? I hear
exactly.
you, Elizabeth.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Take
this
care.
Is a life saver.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Go happy. Treasure yourself.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Elizabeth. And Sherry, it is a blessing that we care, and I do see the challenges that come with that as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it can be mighty, mighty, mighty painful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now.
This is Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yeah,
I'm calling back in. I had called months ago about my eldest son, and I was having all these problems, or I don't know if he was, but I was, and talking about, you know, how do you, it's actually similar to the last caller around compassion and be loving and this and that. Anyway, I'm checking back in to give you an update.
Oh, good. You know I love
those. Yeah. Well, I do too. I realize when people call back and kind of say what happened next, it reinforces what you hear. So I thought, well, I need to do this. So anyway, after we talked, my takeaway was that loving is that sometimes sort of that your heart breaks open, you feel the pain, you feel all of it, and you just, that's it. You don't have to do or make or anyway. So after I talked to you, I just decided, okay, I'm letting go of all my, how can I help you and support you and how do we do that, you know, all my fix him kind of things. And so since then, he got a job. He's an attorney, got an attorney job. He moved out, and he is 10% happier. And for someone who's been depressed most of his life, to even say he's 10% happier is like mind-blowing. And, you know, it affects me. It moves me, to use your words, to even be able to say that.
And
it wasn't like anything. He didn't change. You know, it's that quote, you know, nothing changed, but the whole world is different.
And Susan, does it seem to you that it was your letting go of the way it had you gripped that was part of freeing him up?
Something, yeah, I don't know how it was connected. I mean, I could go up in your conditioned mind and create a story, but I do think it was connected somehow, like his resisting me and me nudge, and back and forth was creating the very situation I didn't want. I don't know exactly how it worked, but when I just kind of, actually in talking to you, let myself feel the pain and the worry and the heartbreak of thinking, oh my God, is he ever going to be better? And just feeling it, it stopped that machine of, what can I do? How can I fix him? How can I help? What are we going to do? You know?
It's such an interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, and go ahead.
Well, I was gonna take it into a kind of a different arena, where I wish more of us could get this. You know, so if you look at something like politics, but it's true. You know, inner office squabbles or relatives that can't get along or whatever it is. We're so conditioned to do something, which of course is ego's, you know, place. And the do something is resist, which again, ego specializes in. And so if we would, so, you know, you want something to go in that direction and I want it to go in this direction. And if one of us would just drop the rope of that tug of war, then mm-hmm. the other person has no, just is left on their own. There's nothing holding that structure in place. So if, you know, if I think you're wrong and you think I'm wrong, and all of my energy is in trying to fix or change you, if I would just turn around and walk off and go put my energy into how I want things to be,
mm-hmm.
what a difference. And that could be part of what happened.
Yeah, I think also I was sending a message unconsciously, you're not adequate to your life. You need my help.
Yeah.
Or even worse, what I think you need to do is more valid than what you think you need to do.
Yeah, and I'm afraid for you.
I'm afraid for you. Oh, gosh. Yeah, and it's kind of like I was listening to today's talk show in the morning around somebody was calling in about her mother was started smoking again, and she was getting ready to go into that hole. You can't do this. You're going to die. La, la, la. And then she realized, no, that's not, you know, that sort of like, I guess for me, allowing myself to feel the pain, to feel the worry, to feel the anxiety, let it be mine and not have to fix it, do it about that whole world.
Yeah. But and choose love, right? Choose love.
Well,
there's all that going on, but what I choose is love.
Yes, but here's the deal. I kind of this is the piece that I think is really tricky, which is I realize listening to her and listening to you that there's this sort of and I've learned it, you know, in the whole world, the culture of if you love me, you would nudge, ask questions, support, give me advice. This is signs of love. My fear is like, well, if I don't really get involved in my kids' lives and help them, they're going to think, in quotes, I don't love them. And it's that whole question of, well, what is love, really? You know, and not taking the conditioned, and it is conditioned.
Absolutely.
Beliefs about
it.
From both sides, I think, sometimes. I don't know.
Another way that goes is if you're not crazed with jealousy over your partner, then you're not really in love.
Yes.
So there's this equating all of this conditioned stuff with love. And when we come back to it, what is love? What do you really want for your son? You know, what do you really want for him? Well, I'll project. You want him to feel loved, cared about. He has a family who loves him unconditionally, a mother who loves him unconditionally.
Yeah. And I've started thinking what I want to do. I don't know if I'm actually going to do it, but like kind of this boilerplate of saying, once the next thing happens, and I have two of them to say, okay, here's how I feel about this. You know, I love you no matter what. I'm here. You're not alone. And if by any chance you think love means these other things, it doesn't in my books. Just know, this is the experience of it for you because it's my projection, I'm pretty sure, but I just want to make sure that we're on the same sheet, you know. That
right. Or perhaps just see what he gets to.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Right? So if you're loving him unconditionally, I don't know. It sounds like he still lives in the same town or close by.
Yeah,
you know,
I have
and
two
so,
of them. Yeah, they live close. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you invite them over. You invite them to do things. They know that they're welcome. They know that they don't have to. They mm-hmm. know that they have a place there. You're always happy to see them. You're interested in their life. You're interested, which is not the same as intrusive, right?
Right, or controlling.
Yeah, so it's just kind of the way we would treat our friends.
Yeah, and I have to really, for me, look, I think it's kind of one of like that thing of living into the question until you live into the answer of,
so many situations I call love or caring. Really? Really, what is this? What's the truth here?
Yeah.
What is it I'm really, you know, over and over? I mean, it's just, it's endless in a way because it comes up all the time, everywhere for me.
Right. Well, and what a beautiful koan for life. You know, what is love? What is love? To always to be questioning what we've been told, what we've been taught, what we believe, what we assume, what we don't even, aren't even aware of. So what really is love?
Yeah, exactly. And from that conversation, so thank you again, I really realized the thing I was resisting was feeling the fear and the hurt and the pain. Because once I let my heart kind of break open, it became really clear what to do and not to do. But as long as I was blocking that, I was, in quotes, confused.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's a big part of it, right? I have to control you so that I don't feel the pain of loving you. Huh. Well, that might not be it.
Exactly. Well, it's just the conversation you just had of like, yes, I choose to be or am in the compassionate camp. And yes, there is pain that goes with that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to do anything, but it, you know, it's not just a neat ticket at Disneyland. It's
exactly.
It's something else.
It's balanced, isn't it? As our hearts really open like that, there's tremendous pain and there's tremendous joy. And that joy is not available to us as long as we're hiding out trying to avoid pain. Because being fully alive is being fully alive.
Yes, that's absolute. You know, I thought about that. There's been times with him and my other son where it was really painful, but I was there and I thought, I would never give up this moment for anything. I have never felt more alive, even though it's really, really painful. Because I thought, I'm here, hook, line, and sinker, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of total commitment to life. So.
Yep, 1,000%. Yep.
Yeah, so
good,
thank you,
Mom.
Again, and
good job. Good job, Mom.
Thank you. Don't forget to record that, okay?
Don't forget to record that.
Yeah,
because she needs to hear that, because there's so much conditioning against it. She really needs to hear that for you, you get it, that this is love.
Yes, over and over and over again. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Bye. Bye, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Susan. Ed, that is a great koan, Sherry. What is love? And what are the conditioned messages? And am I just following those? Or is it more unconditional?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how do I get to the unconditional? What are the steps from conditioned to unconditional? Yeah.
Mm.
Life will show us if we open ourselves. You know, if we ask the question, we will be shown.
Mm, great. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ren from South Florida.
Well, hello there.
Hi, Ren.
I didn't think I was going to get on.
Hey there.
Well, actually,
you never know.
What I heard was conditioning telling me that I can't ask this question because it's a really dumb question. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, that's a sign, that's a clue. That means this is a really important question. So I turned it around, and then I pressed to go in the queue, and here we are. So what I've been struggling with is, I think between, you know, awake and asleep, the fact that we have to go to sleep, physically get sleep, and then how is it going to sleep when we watch television? I have this thing about television because I like watching television. And then some of it got spoken to in the last call because she was talking about being fully awake and fully alive. But could you just talk a little bit about that for me?
Yeah, yeah. So what do you like about watching television?
Well, it takes me right out of, you know, my head.
Uh-huh. So if you're troubled by something, then if you watch something on television, you are, dare I say, distracted from what's going on in your head for a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Away
and
from the
so,
story, yeah.
Away from the story. Now, what happens when you finish watching it?
Well, yeah, you're right back there. You're in the story again.
And do you hear any information about that it's wrong to do that after you, I mean, after it's, you're talked into watching it? Then do you hear information that says you kind of wasted time or you shouldn't have done that or any of that sort of thing?
Not right now. I don't because I'm more seeing the duality between, you know, not eating healthy and eating healthy. So I clearly get, okay, if I have an urge to eat some junk food, then I eat the junk food, then I feel horrible, you know, then it starts the stress cycle again. I could do the process map on that. But I get confused where television is because I guess it's such a habit that I don't see anything wrong with it, but I'm sure there's parts that I'm missing.
Well, here's the thing. There are a couple of things about it. You know, there's really nothing wrong with anything, right? We just want to be clear about how things really are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are watching television to be distracted from a painful or suffering story in
mm-hmm.
your head,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that's kind of it's like paying off a blackmailer. You know, you pay them every week so that they don't spill the beans on you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really perpetuating something that it would be better to put an end to.
Because it's not going away. It's just postponing.
It's not going away. That's right. It's just postponing. And so you're always living under that threat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one aspect of it. The second thing to begin to see is what I was asking you about, that you escape for a little while into television, but the story is right there when you come out of
mm-hmm.
television watching, right? And so what we see in awareness practice is the time that you are distracted from watching what conditioning is doing is time that conditioning spends resting up. So it gets us to go unconscious, and that's when it rejuvenates itself. Okay? And because if you were watching it all the time, it couldn't actually do what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when people start paying attention, I'm sure you've heard some of this, you start paying attention, you start doing awareness practice, and the voices want to say, oh, this paying attention is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, right? Yeah, and it is for ego.
Uh-huh.
It can't maintain itself under scrutiny. So it's got to put you to sleep for a while so that it can maintain itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you are no longer being distracted, it's ready for you because you're going to come. You're going to turn that TV off, and it's going to start in on you, right?
Right.
So one of the things that can be there's nothing wrong with watching television. It's
watching
where
it
is watching tape. Yeah, you want.
you want to watch it consciously.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that makes it a choice. And one of the interesting things to do with anything like that, anything, I mean, you could say having a glass of wine, eating, you know, something that's not particularly good for you, smoking some something, you know, anything that you do that perhaps you, in fact, really do enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there present for it, enjoying it, or is what's called enjoyment conditioning leaving you alone for a period of time while you are distracted over here, mm-hmm. and it's rejuvenating itself? So
okay.
Whatever you do to determine that you're going to do it consciously.
Consciously. Okay. That's very helpful.
Good. And one of the things that a way to do this, it, we were talking about it earlier. So you're going to start charting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you feeling when you're getting talked into watching television?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is your energy like? Because the assumption is it's not good. But that may not be true. You may have a ton of energy, you know, you feel great, and it talks you into rewarding yourself or having fun by doing this activity. And by the time you finish, the energy has been siphoned out of you, and mm-hmm. ego has the energy now, and now it's on you for, okay. So not to assume where you are before you decide to watch television. And for anybody else listening in, I hope I've made it clear that watching television, we can fill a ton of things into that slot.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what's my energy like when I start? So I sit down, and we're going to watch TV. I sit down, and I'm really in tune with what my energy is like. And then I watch, say, I'm going to, it's like sitting, meditation, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to watch a half hour or an hour, and then I'm going to check in. Where is my energy now? How present was I? Could I hold all of this in awareness so that I'm watching the show and I'm watching me watch the show? So mm-hmm. I'm aware of the process that's going on with me as I'm watching this show, right? And then, again, I check in at the end, what is my energy like now, and I watch that. Because I'm doing a science experiment, right? And I do that for many days, comparing. Mm-hmm. And what happens when I watch that? And what happens when I watch that?
Mm-hmm.
Is the energy different when it's a comedy, when it's reality TV, when it's a movie, when it's a romance, when it's a murder mystery, when
wow.
it's a... Okay, what does it do to my energy to take in this different kind of stimulation? What's it connecting with? What's it triggering? What's it reinforcing?
Yeah, I have a strong suspicion it's a lot of the time it's reinforcing kind of my tendency to be depressed and feel bad about not doing much.
There you go. Yeah.
But I never thought about it that way before. Like with the energy, that's really helpful.
Good. And so you can see why with awareness practice, we're not interested in self-improvement. We're not mm-hmm. interested in quitting things, changing things, stopping things. Okay? We want to find out about things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if what you suspect is true, you know, it's reinforcing what we say, low self-esteem or depression or
mm-hmm.
not, yeah, whatever that is. If you stop watching television, that system is not going to say, oh, well, okay, then now you feel
all
good
better.
About yourself.
Yeah.
All better. Like, it's just going to slide right over to something else. So we want to see it for what it is and
uh-huh.
get to the bottom of it so that then we are freed up to participate in anything that life offers us and we can do it with conscious awareness.
Oh, that is so perfect. Thank you so much, and thank you,
you
all
are
the
so
callers.
Now, yeah, and you heard from Susan earlier, right? You're going to call in and let us know how you do, right? Because otherwise, you know, we'll never know. What happened to that woman in Florida who was, so we don't want to have to wonder that. You keep us posted on what you're seeing in your workshop.
I will, and I want to take a second to say, Michael, you're such a role model because, you know, you're there all the time and not in the center of the spotlight, and it's just, like, such strength and courage that you give each of us all the time.
Isn't that
Thank
good?
You. Thank you.
Year after year after year after year. Stalwart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I signed up.
He would be the first to say he's doing this because his practice is deepening week after week, month after month, year after year. Yes. Is that true, Michael?
That's true. Yeah. It's totally true. Yeah, it's a privilege to hear from Ren and everyone. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited because I signed up for There's Nothing Wrong With You, my first retreat. So I'm so excited.
Yay.
Good for you. Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. All right. Then we'll see you before long.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Ren. Good night.
Thank you, Ren. Thanks for joining us, Ren. What a great conversation, Sherry, and I loved how watching TV was not made wrong. It's just something else to explore and to see how does it work? What does it do to me? What does it do to the energy?
Yeah, it's a workshop. It's all a workshop, isn't it? It's all for us.
Yes.
All for our benefit.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, sir. We do appreciate you.
Oh, it's a pleasure and a privilege, and I love doing it. And
and you're going to treasure yourself.
And thank you, Sangha.
Treasure yourself.
Don't forget
go
to
happy.
Treasure yourself.
Good.
Go happy.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Thanks, Sherry. Good night.